Now, I showed you that video this morning, and just to set in our hearts on the conclusion or the outcome to our looking intently at the Lord's glory. As we've been studying in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that's what we're looking at. The bottom line of all of this in our study and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and the things that we'll be talking about, the bottom line in all of this is for you and me and for us to display the glory of God out of our lives. That's what God is teaching us in the Bible. That's what he's showing us in the Bible. As we come to salvation, as we come to the Lord and God works in our life, and then he's working in our life to reflect his glory out of our life, to reflect his character, his nature, his goodness, his love, his compassion, his justice, his truth, all of it is, it all comes, God has allowed us in a sense, and allowed us to participate in sharing the light of God, to live in such a way that it gives light. And I want you to think about it this way, that it gives illumination to God's character, to God's nature, God's truth, God's glory. As we've discussed last week here in 2 Corinthians 3:18 through 4:6, Paul writes this as a key that sustains that life. That's what we're talking about. How are we going to live this life that God has for us in displaying who God is and living the way God wants us to live, into living like Craig prayed about, living holy lives and pure lives and living lives with compassion and love and care and concern and righteousness and all these things that God has given us in this new life in Christ? How are we going to live that? How are we going to sustain a way that we can be light like we're looking at in our video? What's going to keep us going? And Brian mentioned it, and we talked about it last week. It's this focus on the Lord. The key to sustaining this life being a new covenant relationship that we have with God through Christ, in the midst of everything that you got going on in life, in the midst of whatever's going on in your life, in the midst of struggles and difficulties and trials and successes and work and raising children and all of the things that we have in life, in the midst of everything in our life, what is this focus that's going to sustain us, that grows us, that carries us along, that keeps it on track, that kind of thing? We looked at it last week. I called it looking intently at the glory of the Lord. That's what our text says. It's like David said in Psalm 16:8, he said this. David wrote, I continually set the Lord before me. He's constantly in my vision. That he was talking about his daily life and everything. It was who Christ is, or who the Lord is, or what's his truth, or what is his way, or what's his character, what's his nature, what is God seeking out of my life. David set that before him every day, all day. Or it's like what Brian read in Hebrews, that we're all running this race of faith, fixing our eyes on the Lord. As we look into our text this morning, Paul says the same thing. He describes it in a different way. But look at our text today. Listen to the Word of God as God would speak to our hearts about what we're to keep our eyes upon, our hearts upon, our minds upon. He says this, verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." The same images of Christ, our behaviors to look like the Lord, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." You just got to read that over and over and over. You read that, and that's your focus. This is what sustains your life, looking intently at the face of Christ. Looking at the reality of Christ, the truth of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, the character of God, the justice of God, the holiness of God. This is what sustains that life. And we said that last week. We simplified what was being said in the text. We said it this way: since you can see, verse 18, all of us with an unveiled face in this new covenant relationship we have with God, so since you can see, be looking intently at the glory of the Lord so you can live in such a way so others can see. That's what Paul is teaching here. even in the midst of being attacked by the false apostles, being put down in the eyes of the church and defending himself, he's saying in his own life that, you know, I can see the truth of God, the glory of God, and I can live in such a way by God's grace and God's mercy to live in such a way that others can see God, can see the truth of Christ. And that's what he's going to focus on. So as we continue with what we were in last week, we were asking, what kind of look is it then? If we're going to look into the face of Christ or look intently at the glory of the Lord each day, what kind of look is it, this gazing or beholding at the Lord's glory? We covered first four last week out of verse 18, and I'll just briefly mention them. First, it's an unveiled look. Look at verse 18. If you're a believer in Christ and are trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have faith in him, you have new life in him, it's an unveiled look. God took the veil off of your face. There's nothing to hide God from you. There's nothing that's not there. God says it's open face, it's open relationship. There's nothing hiding God from you, his truth, his character, his nature, his way. And he took the veil off of your heart. There's really nothing in your life. He's given you a new heart that desires God's truth, desires God's word. So there's nothing hiding him. All of us have an unveiled face. Second, it's a reflective look. We looked at that. Everything you want to see, everything about truth, about the Lord's character, his nature, God's reality, everything you want to see is right here. It's reflective. Remember a side view mirror of a car? As you would look into the word of God, the truth of God, what it reflects is all the character and nature of Christ and all of who he is and why he came and what he did. Right here, it's a reflective look. We look into the word of God and see him everywhere. Thirdly, it's an intentional look as we looked at verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. The in a mirror is the reflective. Beholding is to look intentionally. That you look in here and you see what it says with intensity, looking with what is the intention on my life? What is the intention for me, God want me to know? What does what I see affect the way I live or what I live for or how I think? This is what God is wanting us to do. The revelation of God, the truth of God, the reality of God. This is the shape how we think. This is the shape how we live. Not us coming and I want to live this way and I want to think this way. Let me find where this will affirm what I want. No, this is the authority of our life. Christ is. This is the truth. We look in there and it starts to shape us on how we live. It starts to affect us on how we think. And God is... we look with it and intentionally with beholding the glory. And as you do that, what the Word of God says, the rest of verse 18, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. God, by his divine power, transforms the way you live, transforms the way you think, and transforms what you live for. It's just an amazing work of God. This is the relationship, new covenant relationship we have with God. As we seek him, as we look for him, as we look into his word and his truth and he reveals to us, as we look into the face of Christ, think of it that way, and see all that he is, and he is everything. God moves on our heart to show us where we're grumpy, to where we're self-focused, to where we're thinking wrongly, to where we're believing an untruth, to where we've whatever, and God is caring and nurturing our hearts to see the truth, the reality of who I am and who he is, and work in my life to change me to reflect him. What an incredible thing. You think about your life. What an incredible thing in the midst of all of it, in everything you're doing, what God is at work in doing you, is using you, wanting to work in your life so you reflect him to a dark world, to a broken heart, to a crying child, to people that need Christ, even to our own families. It's just an amazing work of God. And as you look intently at the Lord's truth, his character, his nature, we become more like him. I think we sometimes cliche that, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ? Think about what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Him weeping when somebody passed away. Him aching and hurting for those that rejected him. Him praying to the Father, if there was another way, let this cup pass from me, but your will, not mine. God has said he will use you in this world to represent Christ. That's not a cliche or an easy thing or a light thing. That's for a time that God is doing through a people. And so what kind of look is it? We're going to grab some more. I think we have six more to look at. It's all of those things, and also it's a grateful look. Look at chapter 4, verse 1 with me. Paul going on says, therefore. So you know he's saying therefore for the reasons. All right, since we have an unveiled face, since we're looking at the glory of the Lord in the Word of God and seeing the truth, and my eyes have been opened, and I can understand and I can see God's character, God's nature, God's glory. I see me clearly. I know who I am, and what God is doing is in the work of me of transforming to reflect Him in this life, in this world. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. What an incredible statement. What ministry do you have? Well, I just read it to you in verse 18. Since you have that ministry, that God gave you that ministry, that you have this ministry of reflecting Him in all that you do, or you can go back to chapter 3, verse 6, where God said He's made us capable, He's made us able of servants of the new covenant relationship that we have with God. We are able or capable, and He has made us that way. Our adequacy is from Him. We are adequate enough to be able to be servants of the new covenant relationship that God has through Christ. Or you can look at 3:12, where He says, we have such a hope in our life that we use great boldness in when we speak about Christ and His truth, that ministry. Or you look in 5:18, where He says, we're ambassadors of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:18. We are ambassadors of Christ. We're representing His truth, who He is, and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, where people are supposed to look at our lives. People are supposed to look at the way we live and say, that's what it looks like for somebody to be reconciled back to God. That's what it looks like, somebody that has a restored relationship with God. That's what it looks like, that somebody that God has come into their life and had pierced their heart with the truth, and that this is the reality. These are the words out of their mouth that come out. This is what Paul is saying. He's comparing them to these false teachers that are saying all of these wonderful things, these blissful things, but look at their life. They're not representing a relationship with God. They're not representing being a servant of God and serving what He wants you to do. They're not boldly proclaiming the truth of Christ. And see, so Paul is comparing that and saying, when you look at the glory of the Lord, when you look intently into His face, and we have this ministry since we've received it. And how did we receive it? Look at the text. You received it as a mercy. Look at me for a moment. Here's what God wants you to know in your life. Everything in your life is a mercy. Everything's a mercy. Everything in our life's a mercy. It's all a mercy. Whatever you have is a mercy. When you, in your heart, get to the place where you say, Lord, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve these difficulties, these challenges. I don't deserve, and there's some really hard things. I'm not making light of losing a loved one and all of the hard things in this world. That's some of the hardest things for Christians, to look into this world and see the tragedy and see the pain and the suffering and all that's going on, and wanting to come to God in their heart and think of God. But here's what Paul says. You have this ministry as you receive mercy. And everything's a mercy. And when you come to God and say, I don't deserve this, let God show you. Ask Him to show you what you deserve. There's two things you're going to come up in the Bible that God says you deserve without the mercy of God. The wrath of God in hell. Everybody in the room doesn't deserve any more than that. The wrath of God in hell. Everybody in the room, everybody on the planet, everybody that's been born except Jesus Christ does not deserve from the God, from the maker of all of us, from the creator, from the mighty God Himself, anything other than wrath and hell. And see, when you come to the truth, to the reality that, see, Jesus Christ, and that He came, what does it say in Romans 5? Yet while I was a sinner, as I was enmity toward God. He looked at me and he was like, ooh, I don't want to be in a room with Ken. When I was this way before the Lord, and God couldn't really look upon me because of His holiness, He sent His only begotten Son that He would die and give His life so God would pierce my heart with the truth and I would receive mercy. And if you're a believer, you receive mercy. God didn't say, ooh, here's a good one. Let me pick these couple are pretty good. And that's what Paul is coming across with. This has to be settled in our heart. This is something that we have to know and understand. We can't walk around understanding like we've gotten something that we deserved. We can't have pride come into our Christianity. That messes it all up. In your heart, you, between you and God and yourself, recognize, Lord, I've received mercy. So it makes it a grateful look. It's certainly a grateful look. Isn't it a grateful look? Every time you look into the Word of God, every time you look into the truth, every time you look to see what God did and where you're at and your salvation and the things that are in your life, I know things are hard, I know things are difficult, and all of that, but what we have is a mercy. One author put it this way. He wrote, our life in Christ, whatever it is a divine concession. It's a willingness of a kind and loving and gracious God to give us responsibility of which we are not worthy. Paul said it, I am what I am by the grace of God. Look at 1 Peter 2 with me for a moment. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Let's look what Peter has to say. And just so we just get this in our heart, if we're going to have a grateful look every time we look into the truth, every time we look into Christ, every time we look into the character and nature of God and what He's doing and who He is and what He's asking of us and what His truth is and how it comes into our life and how it shapes us, every time we got to come with a grateful look. It has to be a grateful look because we know the truth. We know the reality. We know what God has said and what God has done. And look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 9. He writes this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Right in there, mercy. You're God's because God gave mercy. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the mercy of God. You're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, God's own possession, by a mercy. And there's a so that in the text, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous of light. Right, mercy right there. And then you look at verse 10 and it says, for once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God, and you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Before the mercy of God, you're not his possession. You weren't called out of darkness. You aren't here to proclaim his excellencies, and you're not in the marvelous light. By the mercy of God, through the faith in Jesus Christ, by his grace alone, God has called us out of darkness, spiritual darkness, unable to see. And so any look at Christ is a grateful look. When you see the true character, the nature of the Lord in the Bible, in the Word of God, you realize that your life's a mercy. You can't help but be overwhelmed with gratitude. So it's an unveiled look, it's an intentional look, it's a transforming look, it's a grateful look, and then now back to our text, it's a strengthening look. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that make sense as you would look into the truth of God and see the reality of God and the reality of Christ and the truth of God's Word? It would strengthen you, wouldn't it? When you come to the realization, when you come to the understanding of who you are and who Christ is, and God speaks to your life, it would be a strengthening look. Look what he says in 1 again. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. That's what he's saying here. This strengthens us. Anybody focusing on the Lord, anybody focusing on Christ and his truth, his character, his nature, the word is basically like this. They don't bail on this thing. They don't give up. They don't throw in the towel. They don't say, oh man, I see the reality of God. Now I'm just going to throw it in. See, you don't give up on being the servant of the new covenant. You don't give up on living for the Lord because it's a divine mercy with a divine purpose. We all know that. I'm not going to bail on this thing. You know, I don't want to have confidence in me because I don't know what's in front of me in front of this life. But in my heart, I don't want to quit on any of this. I don't want to stop being what God wants me to be. I don't want to say, oh, well, you know, that's kind of hard to deal with that in my life. And I don't, you know, I kind of like that. And so I don't want to deal with that. You know, when you're thinking that way, when those are in your life, when you see somebody that isn't really, is a believer, but they're not really following the Lord, what they've turned from is what they're looking at. And remember our illustration last week with hitting a baseball? And that you got to focus on the ball, but if you look at the background and you focus on that, you're never going to hit the ball? That's what happens in my life. That's what happens in your life, is when you just feel like, man, I'm going to give up on this thing. You're looking at something wrong, aren't we? Because it's a transforming look. It's an unveiled look. We can see him. He transforms us. It's a grateful look because it's a mercy and it's a strengthening look. So when you recognize in your life and in your heart, when those things where you seem to think, I'm going to turn on this, I'm going to bail on this, I'm not going to go this way, you need to get right in here and look and say, Lord, show me your face. Show me who you are and your truth. You know what he'll do most of the time? He'll show you who you are. And that apart from him, yeah, you're going to give up on everything. And apart from him, yeah, you're going to go your own way. And apart from him, you're just going to make it all about you. Yeah, I know, God will say, I get it. But he'll walk you back to where it's a strengthening look. So what kind of look is it? It's an unveiled look. It's an intentional look. It's a transforming look, a grateful look. It's a strengthening look, and now it's a purifying look. Look at the next text, chapter, verse 2. Look what he has to say. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness. Stop there. Listen, when you first looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, when you saw the glory of Christ, when you saw the reality of Christ, when you saw his truth and you in your heart said, I believe in you, I trust in you, I put my faith in you. You came renouncing, didn't you? Didn't you come repenting? What he's saying is we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness. Those two things mean the disgraceful conduct, the dishonorable conduct, you disown that, you renounce that. You rejected the living a deceitful life of employing any means to get what you want. Those are the two things he just said. You renounced that. You rejected, you know, having these shameful, dishonorable things in your life when God showed them to you. You rejected that you were going to do whatever it took in any kind of means to get what you want. Integrity started to come in your life and that kind of thing. And that's what he's saying. When you look into the face of Christ, when you look into the truth of Christ, you know what happens in your life? Those things that are hidden, that you know, that are dishonorable conduct, that they're working the system in what any means or shape or form to get what you want, you denounce those. You reject those. Those are things that you're putting off. See, because when you look at Christ, it's a purifying look. You know, there's no place in Christianity it happens, and that, don't be careful, Ken, in what you say. God doesn't want any of us to have these things in our life that we know they're shameful. And he's gracious and loving and caring in those things in our life. And he's walking us out of those. But anytime you're looking into the truth of Christ, the truth of his word, as we preach on Sunday in your life, you look into the reality of Christ, his way, his truth, his character, his nature, see God. You know, it's kind of juxtaposed to be able to have these disgraceful conducts in your life. Now, they happen. I'm not going to say they don't happen. Bad words come out or bad thoughts or those things happen. But you reject those. I don't want that in my life. You know, for a young man that comes to Christ and he's been a Christian for 10 years and then in the last three he's lost in pornography. Help me, where has his eyes been? I'm the same way. If I don't keep him focused, if I don't keep him on the Lord, you know what? I can turn away and look at other things. And see, what's going to sustain this life? This is what we're talking about. This is what it means. It's just not a cliche, fixing my eyes on Jesus, looking into his wonderful and glorious face. It's a great song, wonderful, but what does it mean to look into the face of Christ? What kind of look is it? It's a clear look. It's an unveiled look. It's a reflective look. It's in the Word of God. It's an intentional look. God, what are you saying to me? What are you showing me? Work these in my life. It's a transforming look. God transforms our life. It's a grateful, grateful look because as you look, you see the mercy that you've received. The more I grow in my relationship with the Lord, the more I understand my own depravity and how much God has rescued me from myself. And as you look and gaze into there, it becomes a strengthening look. And you get more conviction on your heart and know that you're just not going to leave this. And if that's been your struggle in the past and you've stepped away or you just feel like, wow, I just don't know if God is enough or I just don't know if those things are really And all that's going on, let me just encourage you, just get your Bible, open to where we're teaching on Sunday, or open to the Gospel of John, and read the first chapter in John. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of God, full of grace and truth, and let God give you eyes to see. That's how God works, isn't it? As us and who we are in humanity and looking into His Word and asking Him to show Himself and how to live. And if we're there and it just seems despair and it just seems, I can't do it or I'm lost, your God doesn't want you there. But we come looking at Him, and that's the only way we come. He's no respecter of persons, but He's the lover of your soul. And He tells us how to come. So it's a purifying look. Such a purifying look to look at the truth of Christ. And we're all in a process of that. None of us are pure. I don't mean to put you down. But as you gaze at the glory of the Lord, you'll be rejecting conduct that you're ashamed of. Paul said that in Romans 6. Turn there with me. This is a good passage just to nail, to write on this so you have this in your heart and mind in future. Paul said that in Romans 6, 20, 21, 22. He's writing about this new life that we have in Christ, and that we've been buried with Christ and raised with Him, and He's crucified the old self, and He's put sin to death, where it's no longer our master. And we want to offer up our mortal bodies to righteousness, and we don't want to do it to these to sin. And just look at verse 20 and what he says here. And so kind of answer these in your heart as Paul writes here. Just come up with your thought. So Paul writes, for when you were slaves of sin, that means when you were unsaved. Everyone's a slave of sin that is not born again, that's not a believer in Christ. That might be different for you, for your understanding of when you were a slave to sin, that now you're a slave of Christ or a bondservant of Christ. But they had more of an understanding, because there's a big transformation, because nobody grew up in the church, it's just saved, and everybody's like, wow, look at the body of Christ. But look what he says. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now, righteousness is what God requires, what God desires. You were free. You didn't have to live what God required. You didn't have to live anything that God desired, because you're a slave to sin. And God allows the world to go on that way. And there's no righteousness for them. They're not required by God to live a certain way or to live for God's certain desire. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? What benefit was it from the things that you're now ashamed? You see what I'm talking about? It's a purifying look, and we start renouncing the things hidden because of shame. Same kind of words, the dishonorable conduct. Hey, what were you benefiting from the dishonorable conduct? Were you getting your way? Was it more fun? Did your flesh be happier? What was it? Just answer the question. What were you gaining? What were you benefiting from? Look what he says next. For the outcome of those things is, and he gives you one word, and you got to have this in your heart, death. I don't matter how much the devil lies to you or your flesh tells you, these things that are shameful, these things that are harmful conduct or dishonorable conduct or craftiness to get your way, to build your empire, to whatever that is, this is what God says. The outcome of those is no life. I like to write that right there. You can mark it down. You can guarantee it. Your body might think something different, but that's what God says. But look at 22. He says this, but now having been freed from sin, okay, I am freed from sin. Sin is no longer my master. I battle it, but it's not my master. And I'm enslaved to God. He's using words here to help us understand. You derive your benefit. How do I derive my benefit? Living for the Lord, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. The benefit you get is God changes your life, sanctification. He changes you to be more and more like Christ. You illuminate the truth of Christ in your life, the glory of God. And the outcome of all of this is God's planned outcome of relationship with God in eternity forever. Well, you will live exactly that way all the time, because it will be who you are. I can't wait for the day not to have to battle my flesh anymore. But while I'm here, I'll live for the Lord and battle my flesh. But that's what God has promised us then. And so you can see what Paul is teaching. It's a purifying look. What an incredible thing. So it's an unveiled look. It's an intentional look. It's a transforming look. It's a grateful look. Such a grateful look. Overwhelmed with gratitude when you see the truth of God and the reality of ourselves. It's a strengthening look. So strong in the Lord that we can stand for Him. It's a purifying look. Number eight, it's a truthful look. Look at what he says in verse 2, second part of the verse. This is pretty incredible what he says here. Oh, I got to get my Bible back there. Back to 2 Corinthians. He says this, but we ever announce the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness, or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Did you hear what he said? When you look into the face of Christ, when you look into the truth of Christ and his reality, and you see all of his glory and the truth of his word, you don't adulterate what he has to say. We don't adulterate his word. Meaning living or teaching it wrongly in the sight of God. Adulterating here in the Greek is used in other Greek texts, or not the Bible, in other Greek writings for diluting wine. Water it down, change its makeup, change its meaning. And this is what Paul is saying. When you look at the face of Christ, you have this responsibility by the mercy of God, where God, by divine concession, has included you in this, to live and speak in such a way that it manifests the truth to every man's conscience, and God is watching. That's what that text says. Now think with me for a moment. That God has given us the responsibility by the kindness and grace of God. None of us are worthy. It's a mercy. None of us are worthy. And he's given us a responsibility that we would renounce the things hidden, that we would be strengthened by him, that we would have a grateful heart, that he would be at work in our life by the power of God changing our life, that we wouldn't adulterate what he has to say, that we would live and proclaim the truth of what he has to say. And what God is doing is manifesting the truth to the conscience of every man. And he says, and God is watching. Wow, what a responsibility. You thought it was just about getting the gas in your car when you're at the gas station. You thought it was about, gosh, come on, Taco Bell, hurry up. I'm in line too long. I just tell you my problems, okay? You guys find out my problems quickly all the time, right? Can I not eat the ham sandwich in front of a Jewish person? That's all I want to know. And we talk about this all the time, but see, this is the reality. You know, and it's not to overwhelm us, not to put us like, oh man, everything is just overwhelming us. It's to show you, it's to acknowledge to you, it's for us to understand that when we really look into the face of the Lord every day, when we really continually set him before us, when we really study his word, we're not looking for some sort of trick or some sort of way to get something that we want. That's working in craftiness. We're looking at it saying, God, show me the truth of you. Just like Moses said in Exodus 33, show me my glory. And he put him behind a rock and he passed behind him and he let him see. This is our life. We've been given eyes to see, and God wants us to know who he is, and he wants you to live to reflect who he is so others can see. It's that simple, that basic. We're kind of getting deeper into it because we got to renounce the things hidden. We got to have a purifying look. We got to have gratitude in our heart because you know why? Because we're humans and God had to save us. And you know what? Here's our problem. We don't look. We don't look with intention. We're ungrateful. We're losing strength. And we don't deal with our purity. And so that's what God would say. Yes, you need to focus in on me and who I am. And you know what it will be? I'll be transforming you. You'll see. I'll be changing your life. I'll be walking with you in this life. And you will have all hope. You will have strength. A heart of gratitude will well up. And you'll live the truth as best you can as a Christian, as a believer in Christ in the world that you're in. You see why Paul's refuting the enemy here and their attack on him? Because the attack on the enemy is not to look at the word of God, at the God's truth, at what God has to say, and let God say what he has to say in our life so we can reflect him. Here's the enemy's trick. Look at God and find out how he wants to reflect you. That's really the deception of the teaching. Adam and Eve. God doesn't want you to have what you can have And you need to not believe what he had to say. Go ahead and eat the apple. It's been no different. It never will be any different. Let me tell you, I'm not going to tell you that God wants you to have what God wants you to have. And if you'll just disobey him, you'll get what you want from him. I'm here to tell you that God has changed you, transformed you, brought you into the kingdom of God, and that he is by divine concession and a willingness of a kind and generous God to allow you by his grace, by his mercy, to participate in what he is doing in this world. And when he's done, this world won't be here anymore. And he asks you, in part of that covenant relationship that he made with you, will you represent me while you're here? That's pretty much the new covenant representation, the new promise. And this is challenging, isn't it? Challenging? But God is so good and gracious and kind and walking with us. So it's an unveiled look. It is an intentional look, a reflective look. It's a transforming look, a grateful look. It certainly is a purifying look and a truthful look. Let me give you one thing in the truthful look there. Before I move on, you remember what Jesus said in John 8, 31 through 32? The text says this, so Jesus was saying to those who have believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let me tell you, no amount of kind of true will set anybody free. No amount of kind of true will help you in anything. See, because Jesus said it right there. If you continue in my word, the truth of his word, not anything else, what it is, here it is. You keep looking at me, looking at the glory of me, the character of me, the nature of me, my way, my word. You keep your focus on that. You'll be disciples of mine, and God will bring the truth to your heart. He'll bring the reality of what's going on, and you'll be free. Free from sin, free from anxiety, free from fear, free from the things we're going to look at when we get to chapter 10, those fortresses in our life that hold us down, free from deception, that's what it is. And so it's a truthful look. Let's move along here and get to the next two. So as you set the Lord before you continually, it's all of these looks. And then what Paul says next, it's a privileged look. Look at verse 3 and 4. Look what he has to say. And even if our gospel is veiled, 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, it's a privileged look. To some, they look at Christ and they don't see him. To some, they look at the truth of God. You share the truth of God, and the word of the cross is foolishness to them. It was to me till I was 33. To some, it's that way. But to us, you and me, it's the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1:18. That's what it is. Isaiah described it this way to the people of Zion, to the nation of Israel, when they actually capture and see the Lord. Isaiah 60 says it this way, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you." It's such a privileged look to be able to see the truth of Christ and see the reality of Christ. It's a privileged look. Not everybody gets to see it. That's what this text is saying. The God of this world has blinded the minds for some people seeing it. That's God's deal. It's a privileged look. I can look. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Paul said it this way, that the gospel came to you not in word only, but in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit with full conviction. That's what he said. And so it's a privileged look. If we looked at 1 Peter 1:22, 1:22 and following, I won't have you turn there. But Peter is saying that. He's saying, since in your obedience to the truth, chapter 1, verse 22, he says this, since you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has come along and purified your soul. And he's given you a love for God and a love for the brethren. And you have been born again by not a perishable seed, but an imperishable seed of the Word of God, the truth of God. And then he goes on to say, and all of us are the same. All of our flesh is like grass. We're all going to grow up. We're all going to pass away. It's going to grow up and wither, all of our flesh. But the truth of God, the word of God in you, what you believed in, is going to endure forever, the word that was preached to you. And then he says this. He says this in chapter 2, verse 3. He says, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, who's tasted the kindness of the Lord in their salvation? If you know what God can do in your salvation, if you know that he can change your heart, he can change your perspective, he can save you, he can rescue you, he can deliver you, if you know what he can do, why don't you long for the pure milk of God's word? Because it's such a privilege. How could you miss the privilege when God has, if you know what God can do in your life, if you know how God changes things, if you know how God can rescue, even though if you don't understand everything or you don't know why things are as hard as they are, but if you know what he can do, why would you not desire, long for the pure milk of word like a baby longs for milk? Because it's such a privilege, look. And that brings us to the last one. We'll conclude with this. Yes, it's an intentional look. It's an unveiled look. It's a transforming look, a God-changing look. It's a grateful look. It's a strengthening look. It's a purifying look. It's a truthful look. It's a privileged look, and it's a humbling, sovereign look. Look at verse 5 and 6. This is all Paul is talking about in verse 18, as we will behold the Lord. He says this, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Hey, church, we don't preach ourselves. As Pastor Tom, as much as we are pastors of churches, we don't preach the church. We preach that you need to come to church. We preach that you need to be a part of a body of Christ. We preach that you need to be interactive with the members of the body of Christ and hold each other accountable and love each other and support each other, because the Bible teaches that. But we don't preach the church as the answer in this world, because it's not the answer. Church, I'm not the answer. I know that might bum you. I don't preach myself. There's one Lord only, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Dad, it's not you. Ooh, dads might get me for that one. Mom, it's not you. The answer to life is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a humbling look, isn't it? Because it's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about the church. It's not about what I can do, what we can do as a church. It's not about that. Humility recognizes that there's only one Lord and one authority in all of this, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you and what you can do or what we can do, because it's all about what Jesus Christ and what he does. We're just bondservants of him and servants of each other. That's what he says. It's a humbling look. And it's also a humbling look because he said this, for God, who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's referring to Genesis 1:3. You remember that? You couldn't really see it on the video, but it's when it started. There was darkness that covered the deep, and God spoke. He just said light, and there was light. That's what he's referring to, Genesis 1. And he said light. And you know, he said animals, and there was animals. And he said, water and earth separated that way. He just spoke. And there was light. And that's what Paul's referring to. For God, who spoke light into existence, listen to what he says. He's the one who has shown in our hearts. He spoke light right into your heart. It's a humbling look. It's a sovereign look. He is the only one who can dispel the darkness. I can't do it. You can't do it. None of us can do it. He spoke light to you. He did it in so many different ways. Who has a friend that told you about Jesus and that's how you came to the Lord? Raise your hand. I got 20. I mean, they've been telling me about Jesus all the way through high school and through college baseball and all of the things, and they just kept telling me about Jesus. See, God spoke light into your heart, pierced your heart with the truth of Christ, and he used people in your life to proclaim the message, and he uses people to live the message in this world that is a light on the city of the hill. It's all over the Bible about what it is, and we're to illuminate the light of God. But he's the one that pierces the darkness. And so as we would look at Christ and we look at the Word of God, look in the Word of God, look everywhere you want. You understand that if your child needs salvation, look at me, okay? If you're praying to God for salvation, are you asking God to pierce their heart with the truth of his word? Speak light, Lord. Because you know in your own heart, that's the only thing that dispels the darkness. Use me, I'll stand in the corner. I'll do whatever, Lord. Speak light. Lord, whatever. Will you live for me, Ken? Will you live a way where it's a humble heart and a truthful heart and a purifying life? And to stand up and be strong and to be grateful and to look at me with intention and adjust your life? I'll use you as light. Who sees isn't up to me or you. You can see what Paul is teaching the church as we would look at this. What we're focusing in on, the bottom line is that God has included us to be light to this world. And so when we look at Christ, we see all of that. I don't know why me. You may say, I don't know why you, or you may, how come not that person? Other than a mercy and of grace by our sovereign God has pierced my heart. That's what the Bible represents, isn't that true? And by that same grace and by that same mercy, he shines light from your life. He has shone in your heart so he can illuminate the knowledge of the glory from you by the sovereign hand of God. And we should be overwhelmed with the privilege. Let's close with this. I had to walk up here to see what time it was. I should bring my glasses. The facility ministry decided they were going to put an 8-foot clock back there for me. But let's close with this today. Just look at the front of your bulletin. I know that's been a lot. I get 10 points in a message. That's probably, wrong. Tom would say, I never did more than 6. We got 10. But, you know, we needed to focus here. I didn't want to bring this out another one, and I just wanted our hearts to be focused. God really spoke to my heart this week, and we're just people saved by the grace of God, needing God to hold us, to comfort us, to guide us, to lead us. We're in all different places in life. We got different challenges and different things going on. This isn't, you know, we all know that. We got people in our life that don't honor the Lord. We got people in our life that think we're nuts with the message that we have. We have loved ones and family and neighbors and friends that we would ask the Lord to really, you know, Lord, we need you to use our life to pierce the darkness. And Lord, I need you in my life to pierce it in my own heart right now, right today. That's a reality. So when we look into his word and we look into the face of Christ, here's the bottom line as we look today. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light. In the Lord, walk as children of light. How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? How are you going to do that? In everything in this life. It's a great verse, isn't it? How are we going to do that? By looking in the face of Christ. That's how we're going to do that. Don't you think he'll walk you there? It's hard. It's difficult. We cry. We're brokenhearted. We rejoice. There's all of the great things, successes and triumphs. There's all of that. But if we don't look at him in the Word of God and his truth in that manner to see him, I can't walk. How about you? So it's a kind and gracious and generous God to give us this word to us today, to speak to our hearts about where we are setting our focus. Some of us will have conviction about where we set our focus. Some of us will have rescue, help on help me set my focus. Some of us, God's going to be patient and wait on. But today in his word, he's encouraging us. By his mercy, we are included in God dispelling the darkness and illuminating his light. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we ask you just, you know each and every one of us in the sight of God, right in our text. You know what I live like, you know, each and every day, and you're not condemning of me, you're not upset at me. Sometimes I think you're disappointed. But you're not like me. You're our God. You're not like us at all. For you're a perfect Father. None of us know what that's like except looking at you. And you're a righteous judge. Nobody knows what that is like except looking at you. And you're a caring God and a gracious God. And you have a plan and a purpose, and you have a reason why we're here. And you know everything in our lives. Your desire is for us to look to you. So we ask you to quiet the noise, to comfort our hearts, to help us just even to look, maybe today, knowing that your face is there in a receptive way. Let us see you in all things today. Let us moment by moment, step by step, Lord, live each day heading the direction you desire for us in our life. We thank you for the day that you've given, for today. We gather to praise you, to worship you, to be a family of God, to encourage each other, to be strengthened by the fellowship. And most of all, Lord, to see you in your word, to see it with intention, to see it with gratitude, to see it in how you presented it, Lord, as love expressed towards us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.